And let's join our own hearts in prayer. God, we thank you for the gift of Scripture. We thank you for the gift of song. We thank you for your word for us this day. May it share your love with us, share your purpose for our lives with us. May it speak to us. May it remind us that you alone, God, are our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's second scripture reading comes from 1 John chapter 5. I will begin reading at verse 6, not verse 9 as it says in the bulletin, and conclude with verse 13, and you can follow along on page 241 of the New Testament in your pew Bibles. 1 John reads almost like a sermon. It's not really an epistle. It doesn't really address someone like a letter would. It's more like a sermon about the Gospel of John itself. So let us listen to the word of God from this first or second century sermon. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. There are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive human testimony, then the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he has testified to his Son. For those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts, and those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. This text is about many things, but the repetition of the word testimony and testify indicate that at least, if not primarily, this text is about testimony, about God's divine testimony made known in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, and about human testimony, the truth of God in our lives, the truth held in our hearts. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, both in God's divine testimony of Jesus Christ and in the testimony about Jesus Christ written in your heart, you may experience life abundant and everlasting here and now. We don't talk a lot about testimony and testifying. So to be clear, to testify is to give witness. We do not need to give witness to the events, experience, and stories that the world already so easily believes. We only need to give witness to the events, experiences, and stories that the world either co-opts and corrupts or silences and stymies. The tradition of testimony is not familiar to us white mainline Protestant Presbyterians, and this might be because traditions like our own have stood at the center of American government, economy, and culture since the dawn of our country. We need not practice testimony when we have no need to fight for our voice or our chance to be heard. But in other traditions, like the African-American religious tradition or in the holiness traditions of rural Appalachia, testimony is central. It is a life force of the community, a chance to make meaning and to insist on God's life-giving love in a world that seems to declare otherwise. For a long time in our country, and in some places still today, women like me had no access to the pulpit except through personal testimony. The powers that be might withhold access to ordination, but they could not lock up the Holy Spirit when she starts stirring. And so on the margins of society, the Spirit has forever been moving in the hearts of believers, drawing forth words of witness to the power of God at work in the world. And so for this reason, testimony is always deeply personal. It is a passionate witness of life and expression. It gives voice to the experiences that might better be left unshared, lest we open ourselves up to judgment. One of my favorite authors, James Baldwin, lived by his own words: "Go the way your blood boils." You cannot testify apart from going the way your blood boils. To testify means to wrestle with God, with God's word and God's work in your life. And ultimately, from that wrestling, in the words of one of my favorite preachers, Anna Carter Florence, testimony is preaching the word we have seen and believed. And so, if you'll allow me, I'd like to testify on this Mother's Day, as best I know how, to part of what I have seen and believed. In God, there is love and there is sorrow. And through them both, together, we know life abundant, everlasting, and eternal. In Scripture, when Jesus was crucified, they pierced his side, and according to the Gospel of John, water and blood flowed from him. John writes, "The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you might believe." And from the truth of this water and blood, Isaac Watts, the author of one of my favorite hymns, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," he gives his own testimony. "See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did ever such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown?" This is the water and blood to which the writer of 1 John refers. Jesus was born by blood and baptized by water, and in the end gave both water and blood in the greatest act of love and sorrow known, laying down one's life so that all might know God and experience life in God. God made known in Jesus Christ is undeniably human. He is made of water and blood just like each of us. And God made known in Jesus Christ, experienced, exemplified, and sanctified both sorrow and love. It is from both God's greatest sorrow, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and from God's greatest love, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we come to believe in the Son of God and know that we have eternal life. And I don't believe that eternal life is just about what comes next. I believe eternal life is also, and even primarily, about here and now. I believe eternal life starts in the fleshy, incarnate, blood and water, sorrow and love experiences we know, we all know here on earth. And so, if you will, let me testify to my here and now, the sorrow and love God has made known in my life. This is my testimony. In God, there is love and there is sorrow, and through them both together, we know life abundant, everlasting, and eternal. As many of you know, I am pregnant. That is a sentence I can honestly say was born from much love and sorrow. There was a day I remember so well when I had lost all hope. And rather than face my true sorrow and despair and vulnerability, I was wrestling with the easier feelings of envy and selfishness. I cried and I cried for another month gone, another unsuccessful treatment, another unwelcome cycle, a whole new meaning to blood and water. I voiced my questions to my mother-in-law, but they were really questions I was directing towards God. Why me? What's wrong with me? What do they have that I don't have? What is it that I am supposed to fix? Those aren't questions that I'm proud of, but they are questions that are oh so human. And the questions gave way to desperate pleas. God, I cannot carry on. I cannot do this roller coaster any longer. I cannot dare to hope again. In some ways, this day I remember oh so well, it was just another ordinary day. When you're struggling to get pregnant, as many of you know all too well, there is at least one day of hopelessness every 28 days or so. And somehow, with the help of others and with faith in something greater than yourself, you find a way to hope again, to imagine again, to dare again, to dream again. And on this day, the courage to hope again came from the words of Karen, my mother-in-law. Oh, but Hannah, don't you know? Nothing in life has ever been worth it. Nothing in life that has ever been worth it has come apart from struggle. The power of Jesus is found in the cross, the place of greatest pain and ultimately of greatest promise. That's the story of the Hebrew people, Hannah. There is no true freedom apart from oppression, slavery, and the wilderness. There is no shame in the wilderness. In the wilderness, God forms us and shapes us and makes us into the people God has created us to be. And it is in our vulnerability, Hannah, in our vulnerability that we are made whole. We cannot experience God's love apart from sacrifice, vulnerability, and sorrow. Oh, but Hannah, don't you know? Sorrow and love flow mingled down. Pain and promise, neither one without the other. Water and blood, baptism and crucifixion, they both give way to life. You cannot get to the promised land apart from the wilderness journey. Oh, but Hannah, don't you know? In God, there is love and there is sorrow, and through them both together, we know life abundant, everlasting, and eternal. I cannot imagine the many ways your life testifies to the truth of both love and sorrow. I know some of you have experienced both love and sorrow like I have through the journey of infertility and reproductive loss. Behind the families you present now are losses that are all too real, even if in secret, of failed treatments or of terminated or unviable pregnancies, of children birthed but never to draw breath, of children dreamed of but never realized. Oh, but don't you know? In God, there is love and there is sorrow, and through them both together, we know life abundant, everlasting, and eternal. And I know some of us have experienced both love and sorrow in our family lives through stories of estrangement. For you, love and sorrow mingle in the hard reality that sometimes the greatest act of love for yourself, God, and the other is to remove yourself from the relationship, to give the pain of that loss to God. And for some, love and sorrow got confused in wrong and hurtful ways through experiences of abuse. And now you're doing the hard work of sorting out what kind of love and sorrow is from God and what kind of love and sorrow is from that which is not God. And on this day, others of us are experiencing love and sorrow in memories of mothers and grandmothers gone before, whose memories are full of love and whose losses still sting of sorrow. Oh, but don't you know, in God there is love and there is sorrow, and in them both together we know life abundant, everlasting, and eternal. And I know some of us right now are daily living lives of love and sorrow mingled because of depression and trauma and grief and anticipated losses, and because of any number of things that live in that in-between space, between hope and despair, between joy and sadness, where we feel at once okay and so very not okay. That thin place between life and death, between God's realm and our own realm, where we can be so very afraid and also deep in our beings so very at peace. Oh, but don't you know, in God there is love and there is sorrow, and through them both together we know life abundant, everlasting, and eternal. And if there is any power in my testimony, if there is any truth to my words, if the Spirit is present to us now in any real way, leading us to believe, then how much greater is the divine testimony of God made known in Jesus Christ? His birth, born to an unwed mother in a far-off corner, witnessed by only the animals and the angels, a story of both love and sorrow. His life, the untold pages that filled his childhood, adolescence, and adult years, a misunderstood boy, the son of a carpenter, sitting in the temple, studying the scripture, asking difficult questions, pushing the adult with his wisdom, love, and truth, a story of love and sorrow. And his ministry, just 3 short years of ministry among misfits and outcasts, healing the sick, binding up the brokenhearted, forgiving sinners, teaching in word and action, and preaching good news to the poor, release to the captives, calling all to believe the gospel. A story of love and sorrow. And his crucifixion, denied and betrayed, turned over to evil powers for a state-sanctioned death, suffering the depths of human pain, crying out in anguish, begging for the forgiveness of sins that were not his own, and handing his life over for the sake of others. A story of love and sorrow. And ultimately, his resurrection. An empty tomb, and a mourning mother, grieving friends and disciples, heartbroken and confused followers, unsure of what to make of the light that has broken through darkness, the love that has overcome hate, and the life that has ended all death. The power of sin is broken, and all are delivered with Christ from death to life eternal. It is a story of love and sorrow. This testimony, where God's divine word meets our human lives, it is given that we might see and believe in the liberating power of God's word. And then, if we dare, go out into the world to risk proclaiming the truth of the gospel. And in this, we might know God here and now, made known through both love and sorrow, leading us all to life abundant, everlasting and eternal, starting here and now. Thanks be to God. Amen.